Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
It's my joy to welcome you all to this preaching service tonight, and I pray that as we gather together, the Lord will bless your hearts through His own precious word. Could we bow together, please, and let us come to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we bow before Thee this night in the name of Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the One who has gone before us as our forerunner within the veil, and as our great High Priest appears for us in heaven at Thy right hand. We thank Thee for the blessings that we have in Christ, and we rejoice that we are able to meet around the Word of God at this moment. We pray for Thy help. We pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to rest upon this time of the preaching and the hearing of the Word of God. And may it come with freshness and power unto every heart. Abide with us now, we pray. We ask this all in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and I wish to read the first seven verses of this chapter. Luke chapter 15, reading from the verse number 1, and let us hear God's word. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And the Lord will bless the reading of His own precious word. In this chapter, there actually is a threefold parable that was delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ in response to criticism that was leveled against Him by the scribes and the Pharisees. That criticism was raised because some of the worst sinners of the day were coming to seek after the Lord, were being drawn by Christ to Him, and were being received by Him as their Savior. Verse 1 tells us about this. It says, Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. That was an act on the part of those people who were being drawn to the Lord that was regarded by the religious leaders of that day as being beneath them. We see that in verse number 2. It says, The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Obviously, they had no time for these people who were coming to the Lord. They regarded them as being unworthy even of attention. And yet what they meant as a criticism and an indictment of the Lord Jesus Christ with regard to His character and His ministry was actually a glorious truth, though they did not know, these scribes and Pharisees, that they were stating such a marvelous truth. That truth is that the Lord does receive sinners, that He welcomes them, and that He saves them. And so in order to show that the Lord does save such as these people who gathered that day and who came to Him, the Lord then proceeded to bring this threefold parable. That's how I regard this chapter. Well, the main part of the chapter. We have the lost sheep, we have the lost coin, we have the lost son. They are not three separate parables. Rather, this is one parable in which we have a threefold perspective placed upon the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ commences his response to this criticism of him by these religious leaders by focusing on the lost sheep. The vital point is that many of the Lord's true sheep are found among the wicked people and the wicked places of human society. And yet verses 3 to 7 of our reading present to us the thrilling presentation of what the Lord is able to do for those for whom it seems there is no hope. That's what the gospel's all about from one particular angle. It's the message that brings hope to those who are hopeless. It's the great news that Christ is able to save to the uttermost all those who come on to God by him. And so what we find then in verse 5 really sums it all up. And it says in verse 5, "And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing." In this verse, we have therefore a view given of Christ as the shepherd of the lost and the guilty sinner, the one who is able by his work to rescue and to save and to bring men and women out of the devastation in which sin has placed them and make them new creatures and deliver them not only for time but for eternity. It may well be that I speak to some tonight who are in that category, who feel that life is hopeless, who feel that there is nothing for them by way of any deliverance. And yet here is a little section of this chapter that shows to you in the account of Christ the shepherd going to find the lost sheep that there is hope. There's hope for you. And we pray this night that God will use his word for his glory and draw you unto himself. I want to look at this section, therefore, from three particular angles. Number one, the shepherd searching. Notice the words in verse 5, "when he hath found it." And the inference of those words is that the shepherd had been searching. You cannot find something until, first of all, you go to look for it, no matter what it might be. And when it says here, "when he hath found it," the shepherd representing our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he had been searching and had been seeking for that lost sheep. And so a major thrust of this section is therefore that of the shepherd searching. And that's a prominent perspective of the Lord in so much scripture. The Lord searching for the sheep. The Lord going on that great quest to bring sinners to himself by finding them after he has sought for them and bringing them into the fold, into that great company of the redeemed. There is the personal nature of this search because we find that it is the shepherd himself who goes to search for the sheep. It's not some hireling. It's not someone who's delegated by the Lord, but rather it is the shepherd himself. And the reason why the Lord goes searching for the sheep is because the sheep belong to him. They are his sheep. And how often that comes out in the Word of God, where you have this kind of language of Christ the shepherd and the sheep. And the Word of God emphasizes that those who are called his sheep, they belong to him. He is the owner of them. He's the owner of them because they were given to him by the Father from all eternity. We have that stated by Christ himself, for example, in John 17, that great prayer that he prayed on the night before he came to the cross. And seven times in that prayer he refers to this great truth that his people were given to him by the Father. And furthermore, not only were they given to him, that's why he owns them, that's why he possesses them, that's why he goes looking for them, but he was charged to keep them and deliver them. John 6:39, he says this, "Of all that the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day." And in those words, you've got the language of one who is called the surety in Scripture. They were charged to Christ to keep and to deliver and to bring home and to save and to redeem and to do all for them that is necessary for their salvation and for their deliverance. And so they're his because they were given to him, and they're his because he was charged to keep them, and they're his because he died for them. And he purchased them with his own precious blood. Think of his words in John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And therefore, they're given to him. He's charged to keep them. He has died for them. He has bought them. And all of that fires the mighty soul of our Lord Jesus Christ as he goes as the shepherd searching for the sheep. There is the personal nature of this search. It is Christ. Yes, he uses means. He sends forth men to preach. He uses all of his children in one way or another to bring others in. But in the final analysis, it's the Lord. It's the shepherd searching that we're seeing here in this wonderful section of this threefold parable. And then only is there the personal nature of it, but we must notice what actually prompts this search. And that is, the language here is filled and permeated with an urgency on the part of the Lord, and an urgency that signifies the compassion that moves him to go to find those sheep that are lost. We think of what Isaiah writes, Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. And therefore, the sinner, through deliberate rebellion and through willful wickedness and through wanting to fill his own life with the things of this old world, goes astray willfully and deliberately from God into all the paths of sin, into all the devices and pursuits that lead a person on the wrong road entirely. And for that reason, therefore, because of the urgency of the matter, because of the love that the Lord has for these sheep, he goes after them to find them. And what moves him and impels him is his great love, his mercy, and his sovereign grace. Remember what we find in Genesis 3, that as soon as man fell, the Lord came into that garden. The Lord came with a message. The Lord was on a quest. He revealed himself to Adam and Eve. He spoke to them of their need, and he showed to them his grace, and he gave them the promise of the Redeemer, and he spoke of the one who's in view here, even as the shepherd. And therefore, from the very beginning, as soon as man fell, we find that the God of glory has gone out into this world to seek for the lost sheep and to bring them home and to bring them into the fold of mercy and of grace. And what encouragement that is for sinners to think and to reflect upon the great truth that the Lord, out of love and mercy, goes searching for them. And I urge you to think about those in the Bible whom we see being rescued and delivered out of grace and mercy. What about those in the Old Testament, like Manasseh, a man who had sinned so much and had filled Jerusalem with blood and had overthrown everything that his godly father Hezekiah had ever done in the great revivals that God sent in those times. And yet God had mercy on that wicked man. And he brought him, he dealt with him, he drew him, and he brought him to know the grace and the mercy of forgiveness and sin. What about in the New Testament, the woman at the well? That woman who was so far away, in such deep darkness, lost in sin, and yet the Lord went after her. We're told there in John 4, those marvelous words, he must needs go through Samaria, because there's a woman whom he knows. There's a woman whom he loves. There's a sinner far away. But he's going after that soul to rescue that sinner and to draw her to that great experience where she's able to say, come see a man who told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Shepherd, the one who saves, or the demoniac of Gadara? He also shows the marvelous search that the Lord carries out because of that urgency in which he sees the sinner to be found lost and in darkness and deceived and overcome by the powers of the devil, and yet the Lord moves to rescue. We could keep mentioning others, but these are sufficient to let you see that here is good news for such as you, lost in your sin. And there's one who loves sinners like you and who searches for you and is calling you to come to him and to rest in him and be saved by his grace. And notice here how the Lord in his search persevered. It says here again in these words in verse 5, it says that he, when he hath found it, and the thought there is that he kept on searching and persevering in that search until he found the sheep that was lost. Well, my friend, the Bible shows us that the lost sinner is not even aware of being lost. And therefore, when the Lord goes forth to search out the one for whom he came to die, he goes after those who are not conscious of their lostness until the Holy Spirit begins to work in the heart. And therefore we need to pray that God will do that in these days, that he will go after sinners and awaken them and cause them to be alarmed themselves and see their need, because they're unaware of that when they're still far away from God. They're not even aware of their danger. Never mind their deceived condition. And they are in danger. And we think of the sheep here, and we know the sheep is a very vulnerable creature with regard to the physical dimension. And an illustration lies in that fact of sinners who are in danger of being lost, danger being swept away by the devil's lies and falsehood and deception, danger because of sin in the world that's ready to swallow them up. And yet Christ perseveres until he finds that which is lost. And he works in the heart, and he draws that soul to himself. So there's the shepherd searching. But then there's the shepherd saving. The shepherd saving. In verse number 5, our text, which, as I've said, is really a summary of all that is revealed to us here. Notice those next words. He layeth it on his shoulders. There is the shepherd saving. There is a portrayal of the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He reaches down to where the sheep lies, maybe caught up in some kind of a situation where it's utterly helpless. So often that is the case for men and women in their sin, as I mentioned, helpless and hopeless and powerless. And that's the view of things here. That sheep is unable to do anything to rescue itself. But the Lord reaches down to where the sheep lies, to where the sinner is found, and he lifts it up. That's what you see in this action here of his placing that sheep on his shoulder. It doesn't arrive on the shoulder of the shepherd without first of all being raised from where it is found because of its terrible state and condition. May I say to you this very moment that sin has taken you where you're found at this time. Sin brings people down. It doesn't lift them up. Sin robs them of all that Adam had at the beginning, that mankind had in the blessing of God. It strips it all away, and it leaves sinners destitute and under the power and dominion of a fallen nature and a world that is given over to darkness and sin. But Christ came into that world and condescended to where sinners are found in order to lift them up and save them from their sin. We think of how the psalmist puts it in Psalm 40 and verse number 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And when the Lord saves, when the shepherd saves, he goes down to where the sheep is found and he lifts it. He raises it up. That's what God's grace can do for you. Can lift you out of the depths, bring you from the gutter where sin has brought you and where you're now found, and make you someone who is then placed upon the Lord for your safekeeping, because we notice that as well. Whenever that sheep was placed on the shoulder by the shepherd himself, all the weight was on the shepherd. You see, that sheep was not keeping itself. It didn't lift itself out of the gutter, nor did it keep itself. It was the Lord who did the lifting, and it's the Lord who does the keeping, because that's what salvation is all about. And then you see, set on his shoulders, that sheep was carried by the shepherd the whole way home. The whole way home, because it tells us in the next verse, verse 6, and when he cometh home, and the sheep has been on his shoulders the whole way home. This is a marvelous view of the shepherd's saving. It shows to you and me, as we think about these little details, that salvation is of the Lord. It's his work from beginning to end. He reaches down, he raises up. He carries the sinner and brings the sinner the whole way home to heaven. It was safe on the shepherd's shoulder. He was strong enough. He was able enough. He was powerful enough to carry the sheep to that destination of safety and joy and gladness. And when we think about our Lord Jesus Christ, across this world this night, there are many, many sheep on his shoulder. And he's able to carry them all. He's able to bring them all to safety and bring them from the moment they're born again until the moment that they arrive in heaven and are presented to the Father with exceeding great joy. Oh, my dear friend, do you not see tonight that there is not only a shepherd who's searching for the like of you, but there's a shepherd who is able to save you completely and eternally and deliver you from every ravage that sin has made in your life? Why do you not seek him? Why do you not heed his call? Why are you not listening to his voice as it's presented to you in the gospel in terms like these? This glorious and wonderful scene of all these sinners who were coming to him, drawing near to him, people who were despised and rejected by others and were also criticized as the Savior himself was, who reached out to them. And yet that's the kind of person for whom the Lord came to die. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he's searching for them. And thank God, he is saving them. And may you come to know the Savior tonight and be delivered by his grace and by his power and by the great work that he has done. You see, the shepherd here, as I've intimated already, is the one who dies for the sheep. And that's where the whole value of his saving work is found. It's found in his death. It's found in the atonement. It's found in the precious blood that he shed. It's found in that marvelous work that he accomplished at the cross. This is the shepherd we're looking at here. The Lord, as he brings this parable, he presents himself immediately under this language of the shepherd going after the sheep. And he's telling us tonight, he's showing you that he's able to save to the uttermost because he has died, he has paid the price, and therefore he's able to save, able to rescue. And the third thought that we have here about the shepherd, not only the shepherd searching and the shepherd saving, but there's the shepherd singing. It says in verse number 5, the very last word, rejoicing. Rejoicing. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You go on to verse number 6. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Rejoice with me. And so here is the shepherd singing. We can put it that way. And you know, we find in the Word of God that this matter of the Lord actually singing, rejoicing over sinners is a very dominant theme. We read in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, 17. It says there, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will joy over thee with singing. Think about that. The Lord in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. Then it says, he will rejoice over thee. That's the amazing part of this rejoicing. those over whom the Lord actually does rejoice. Because who are they? Well, we've seen it tonight. Sinners, guilty, unworthy, undeserving, running away from God, pursuing sin, lost in darkness. And over such, as the Lord searches for them and saves them, then he sings. He rejoices with great joy. The night before he died, as he left the upper room, or prior to leaving that upper room, we are told that the Lord Jesus and his disciples sang together. And what a scene there is there. Focus on the Lord Jesus before he leaves that room. He knows what's ahead of him. He knows all of the agony and the suffering and all of the shame that he will go through. And yet, before he leaves the upper room, he sings. Because he's going out to save by his death the sheep who were given to him. We think of him at the cross when his own cries rent the air, the cries of agony, especially that fourth cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And yet, in the midst of it all, he had before him the joy of the redemption of sinners. Think of what Paul says in Hebrews 12, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Sinner, seek this Christ. Seek him immediately. Come and trust him as your Savior. This shepherd, this searching, saving, singing shepherd, come and seek him, and thank God he will save you and he will make you a new creature. Let us bow together and let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word that we have considered and for the great truths that lie in these verses and the view of Christ that we are given. And oh, we pray that the Holy Spirit will take that word and bear it home and bring it with power to hearts, that they might be saved and thereby God glorified and Christ exalted. We pray this in his dear and wonderful name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.